Thank you to the Octet for your special music. It was wonderful. We really had some very nice music all feast and really inspiring messages. It's been great to be here in Branson. This is the sixth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's hard to believe that we're already almost to the end of the sixth day. Today is also a very special day for my wife Marie and me, as it's our 47th wedding anniversary. And I thought it was an honor to be able to speak on that day. That's not the topic of my message. What I'd like to talk about today, I'd like to begin by asking a question. We all know that Jesus Christ did not have long hair, right? We know that. But did you know that Jesus Christ, according to a scripture in the Bible, had wings? Jesus Christ had wings. Turn with me, if you would, to Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. Here we read, "But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings." With healing in his wings. The Son of Righteousness is referring to Jesus Christ. Did Jesus Christ have actual wings growing out of his back? Is that how, after he was crucified and resurrected, he was able to rise to heaven? Is that how he's coming back, when he comes back to set up the God's kingdom on earth and start the millennium, because he has wings on his back? No, not at all. Of course not. He's a spirit being, and he can fly like Superman can fly. If you watch the Superman movies, he can just rise off the ground. He doesn't need wings. He doesn't need a red cape, and he doesn't need blue tights in order to fly. He's a spirit being. So what does this verse mean? The title of this split sermon is Healing in His Wings. Healing in His Wings. The phrase "with healing in his wings" does not mean that Jesus Christ has actual wings. The New Unger's Bible Dictionary says the Hebrew word for wing in this verse means extremity. Extremity, the extreme edges. It can be used when speaking of wings of a bird, but it also can be speaking of the skirt or the flap of a garment, the edge of a garment, the hem of a garment. And you know what? That actually happened when Jesus Christ was here on the earth the first time. There was a woman who was sick with a flow of blood for 12 long years. And she went to the physicians of her day, and she spent her entire fortune, her entire life savings on trying to get that flow of blood stopped, and they couldn't help her. And then Jesus Christ was in a crowd of people in her area, and she sneaked up behind him, and she touched the hem of his garment, and bam, she was healed. The blood stopped flowing from wherever it was coming out of. She was healed instantly. And you can read about this in Luke chapter 8 and verse 43. We won't go there today. The New Unger's Bible Dictionary says the word wing also has a figurative meaning. When God brought his people out of Egypt, he brought them out on eagle's wings. Well, what that means is he brought them out with strong and loving care. You know, the eagle watches over its young with strong and loving care. When the young eagles go to leave the nest, the adult eagle will fly underneath of them so that they don't fall down upon the rocks. Healing is promised because Jesus has strong and loving care for us. Here Jesus is called the Son, the S-U-N of righteousness. The wings of the Son are the extremities of the sun. It's the rays of the sun, the rays of light that emanate from the sun. So a sun's rays, they spread light and warmth over the entire earth. Every single plant and animal benefits from the rays of the sun. And you can't hide easily from the sun. You know, even if you go inside of a house, if we go inside of my condo, you try to go to sleep in the afternoon, you draw the blinds, but there is so much sunlight coming in, it's just so bright, it's hard to sleep. Sunlight can go in just about anywhere. It goes everywhere. In the same way, it's hard to escape the love and concern that Jesus Christ has for us. So literally, Jesus healed with the hem of his garment, and figuratively, he heals with love and compassion that is inescapable. When Jesus Christ came to earth the first time, did he come with healing in his wings? Did he show love and compassion for people by healing them? Let's turn to Matthew 14, verse 14. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 14. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When two blind men cried out to Jesus, and then the crowd around him said, be quiet, stop your screaming, leave them alone. What did Jesus do? Matthew chapter 20, verse 32. Matthew 20 and verse 32. So Jesus stood still and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. When a leper begged to be healed, what did Jesus do? Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And then a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And what happened when large crowds of sick people came to Jesus? Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, those who had anyone sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Over and over in the Gospels, we read how Jesus had compassion and he healed people. When Jesus comes a second time to establish God's kingdom here on this earth, will he come with healing in his wings? Well, first, let's consider what is going to happen to the saints when Jesus Christ returns. For those of us who are baptized, for those of us who are led by God's Spirit, if we're hurting today, if we are diseased today, if we are old and broken down and worn out today, something will happen to change all of that. And it won't be just us who are affected. Jesus Christ is going to do something for those who have died. And what will he do? Well, we read about it at Passover time. You remember, he said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. When Jesus Christ comes, he will raise us up to meet him in the air. And what will become of our broken down bodies? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now I say, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption and this mortal is put on immortality, then will be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. The saints will be given incorruptible bodies. Our new bodies won't break. They won't wear out. They won't grow old and fall apart. Let's back up to verse 35, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow the body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fish, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, and one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Our physical bodies are sown in weakness. Our spiritual bodies are going to be raised in power. Think about that. Do we have sore muscles, sore feet, sore back, sore legs? Do we have arthritis in our joints, cataracts clouding our eyes, cancer eating away at our organs, high blood pressure threatening to give us heart attacks and strokes, kidney or bladder disease forcing us to wear catheters? Do we have bone rubbing against bone in our knees and our hips? Do we have breathing problems such as asthma or COPD? Do we have to wear glasses and hearing aids? Do we need a wheelchair, a walker, or a cane just to get around? Do we have any other weakness or disease? All those ailments are associated with our weak bodies. When we are given spiritual bodies, all of those ailments will be gone. All of those pills that we have to take just to feel normal, to be normal in our lives, to function normally, we won't need them anymore. We will be raised in power. And what a great way to start off the millennium, with powerful bodies healed of all of our ailments. In the millennium, if somebody walks up to us and asks us, how are you today? We're not going to say, lousy, terrible. Well, at least I'm on this side of the dirt. We're going to respond, I'm wonderful. I'm awesome. I never knew I could feel so good. So the saints will be healed of all of their physical ailments when we are given spiritual bodies. Now, what about the humans who live on into the millennium? What about those who are not yet baptized? Will they be healed of their ailments in the millennium? Will Christ have healing in his wings for them? Isaiah 30 and verse 26. Isaiah 30, verse 26. Moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. In that day, The Lord will bind up the bruise of his people and heal the stroke of their wounds. And that day, the Lord will lovingly bind up our bruises. He will stop our hurts from healing. Have we ever served in the military and suffered a wound? Have we ever played on a sports team and been injured, or been in a car wreck and been injured, and we've had to live with that pain ever since? Well, Jesus will heal the stroke of our wounds. Jeremiah 30 and verse 17. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17. For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Again, our wounds will be healed. And no matter our age in the millennium, we are going to feel young and alive. It says here, we will be restored to perfect health. Isaiah 33 and verse 24. Isaiah 33, verse 24. And the inhabitant will not say, I'm sick. The people who dwell in it will be forgiven their iniquity. When someone asks those of us who are human in the millennium, how are you today? We will not answer, I'm sick. I have a cold. I have a flu. I have this ache and pain. No, we won't have anything to complain about. We will all be healthy. Now, Jesus will heal the sick and he will forgive their sin. Now, not all sickness is the result of sin. There are sicknesses that we can get that has nothing to do with sin. If you doubt that, just read John chapter 9 about the man born blind. You know, not all sickness is caused by sin, but sometimes it is. Sometimes our sickness is caused by our sins. Let's look at one example. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 1. So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. And behold, they brought him a paralytic, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. At once, some of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, Your sins are forgiven you? Or to say, Arise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. And the multitude saw it. They marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. Jesus said, It doesn't matter whether I say, Take up your bed and walk, or your sins are forgiven you. Either saying would have produced the healing. Why? Because in this case, his sins did cause his ailment, his sickness. And today when we're sick, we are told in James 5 to call upon the elders of the church and get anointed. And then in verse 15, we're told, and the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So in the millennium, this will still be true. The Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Wow! What a blessing. Physical and spiritual healing. Well, what are some of the specific diseases, the specific illnesses that Christ will heal in the millennium? Let's turn to Isaiah 29, verse 18. Isaiah 29 and verse 18. In that day, the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. So deafness and blindness will be healed. Now, many in this room are wearing hearing aids, and when they don't wear them, they have trouble hearing. And what an affliction it is to not be able to hear. How frustrating it must be to have to miss out on the words of sermons, and even conversations sometimes, because you just can't hear it all. You know, deaf people are unable to enjoy the chirping of birds in the summertime, or to go to a concert and listen to the beautiful music that's being performed. Deafness cuts people off from other people, the people around them to some degree, because the deaf people then have to find some other way to communicate, such as writing down messages, or reading lips, or using gestures, or American Sign Language. Imagine the joy and the gladness that these deaf people are going to experience when their hearing is restored, when at last they can hear perfectly. And if deaf people feel cut off, how do blind people feel? Blind people may be able to hear just fine, but they can't see anything. They can't enjoy the beauty that surrounds them. A gorgeous Hawaiian sunset would be lost on them. But in the millennium, the blind will see. Those who are blind today will see the faces of their family and their friends, and they will see shapes and objects and distances and colors, and it's going to be a glorious time for them. Isaiah 35, verse 5. Isaiah 35, verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. So we add to the deaf and the blind the lame. In the millennium, we will not need handicapped parking spaces. We will not need handicapped seating in the auditorium. We just won't need those in the millennium. We will not need wheelchairs, walkers, and canes. All people who have trouble walking today will be healed. We will all be able to walk and run and hike mountain trails. How great it will be to be able to move about without any pain or weakness in our backs, our hips, our legs, our knees, our feet. And the dumb, the mute, will be able to speak. People who have speech impediments, making it difficult to form words and utter sentences, well, they're going to be healed. And the frustration they feel at not being able to communicate just the way they want to, that frustration is going to be gone. They'll be able to talk freely and abundantly. There'll be no lisping, no stuttering, no hesitation when speaking. And with their newfound voices, we are told the dumb or the mute will sing. Do you think maybe those of us who don't have great singing voices, maybe in the millennium, our voices will be healed as well? You know, I've always admired people who can sing those beautiful melodious notes that can bring tears of joy to your eyes when you're in an audience. If I try singing alone, a solo, I would bring tears to your eyes, but they wouldn't be tears of joy. They'd be tears of pain, believe me. Well, this verse says that the tongue of the dumb will sing. Maybe a good voice is going to be part of the healing package. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it's something to think about. Let's go to Isaiah 35 and verse 3. Just back up a couple verses. Isaiah 35, verse 3. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Our weak hands and feeble knees will be strengthened. No more arthritis, no more bone on bone rubbing painfully in the millennium. Cartilage in those joints will be healed and restored. And instead of weakness and soreness, there will be strength. Now, in today's world, we might go to a hospital and get treated for something. And then in a few days, a few weeks, a few months, maybe a few years, we're back in that same hospital being treated for that same illness, that same disease. Will this happen in the millennium? Jeremiah 17 and verse 14. Jeremiah 17, verse 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. In the millennium, when Jesus Christ heals us, we will be healed for good. There's no relapses, no setbacks. Jesus doesn't heal partway. He will make us whole and healthy. What about medicine? Will there be medicine in the millennium? Let's go to Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47. Verse 14. It's talking here in these earlier verses about this river that's going to flow out from the temple to the sea. And then in verse 14 of Ezekiel 47, verse 12 of Ezekiel 47. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will flow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because the water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine, or as my margin says, for healing. So in addition to divine healing, there will be these leaves on these trees that will be used for medicine or for healing. And these leaves, I imagine, will provide healing without the long list of side effects that they list when you watch the TV commercials for new drugs. You know, you watch some of those commercials and it seems like the cure is worse than the disease. Well, that's not going to be the case in the millennium. You know, these leaves will be for healing. Let's turn to Zechariah 8 and verse 4. Zechariah 8 and verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. People will be healed. They will be healthy, so they're going to live to a great old age. Now, how long can they expect to live? Well, the Bible doesn't say. I have heard some speculations that in the millennium, people may live close to 1,000 years, live the whole time, just like they did back in the first part of Genesis, where you read that they lived 900 and some years. That's a possibility. I've heard other people say, no, we will just live our normal lifespan and then die or be changed into spirit beings at that time. The Bible just doesn't really say for sure. Let's look at Isaiah 65 and verse 20. Isaiah 65 and verse 20. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For a child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Now this verse speaks about people in the future living 100 years. Well, this verse could be speaking about the millennium, or it could be speaking about the time of the great white throne judgment period. It really doesn't say here. It could be speaking about both, really. So, when Jesus Christ came to earth in human form more than 2,000 years ago, he came with healing in his wings. He had compassion, and he healed everyone who came to him. And when he returns to the earth in the millennium, he will come once again with healing in his wings. He will heal the saints by giving them brand new glorified spirit bodies, and he will heal the humans who live on into the millennium. He will bind up their bruises. He will heal the wounds. He will repair whatever's wrong with them. The blind will see. The deaf will hear. The mute will speak. And the lame will leap like a deer. And as people learn to obey God, there will be fewer curses and health issues. And people will be taught the right way to live, the right way to eat. The land will be healed so that the food that's produced will be healthy and good for our bodies. And as God's way spreads all around the earth, sickness will pretty much be eliminated. And if anyone gets sick, they won't need a doctor. They can be healed instantly and miraculously. And then there is a time coming that we will commemorate in a couple of days when there will be a new heavens and a new earth. And then, at the end of that period, or when there's a new heavens and a new earth, everything will be spirit. There'll be no more physical. And when that happens, there will be no more sickness. There will be no more pain, and there will be no more crying because you're in pain and you're sick. All of these things will become a thing of the past. Turn with me to Revelation 21, verse 4. Revelation 21, verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away. And then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And if this sounds like it's too good to be true, he adds the following words. It says, And he said to me, Write. For these words are true and faithful.